the future has arrived. As the world and humanity itself moves faster and faster into unimaginable possibilities, old institutions that built connection and shaped our sense of meaning are falling by the wayside. In their wake, profound questions about ethics, our purpose, and spirituality demand new answers. Join your host, Scott Mason, in Season 2 of the Purpose Highway Podcast. We will explore how these social changes will revolutionize our society. We will learn how they impact our own search for connection and meaning. And we will hear stories of influencers whose lives have had radical change from the inside and found profound connection to others and themselves through a new definition of meaning. The future has arrived. Are you ready?
When you're racing down the purpose highway, we want to make sure you're healthy and happy every step of the way. That's why we're proud to partner with It's Nola, 21st century plant-based healthy granola snack bites made with real ingredients and audacious flavor. It's Nola crafts small batch hand-rolled granola balls that are vegan, gluten-free, and naturally low in sugar. It's Nola's delightful bites come in three flavors: luscious cranberry coconut, sassy mango masala, and dark, decadent, chewy chocolate. It's Nola is available to both individual customers and for wholesale accounts at itsnola.com. That's itsnola.com. Guests on this show are already enjoying this delicious snack. Check out It's Nola's website for yourself and find out how good it is. Hello, everybody. It's Scott Mason revving up for another race down the Purpose Highway. If you like what we're doing, be sure to subscribe and give us a thumbs up on YouTube or a positive review on Apple. And sitting next to me in the front seat today is Michael Fritzius. He is the founder and CTO of Arch DevOps, which provides automated solutions to common problems in software delivery. He's also a contributing author to Biz Catalyst 360 Degrees and a podcast host. Fritz, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Oh, man, I am outgunned. It is rare that I get to talk with somebody that's more extroverted than me, so I'm like, oh, I gotta calibrate. I gotta get ready. No, I'm good. It's good. Life is just complex. It's a struggle. It's beautiful. It's chaotic, but woohoo, we're here.
We're here and talk about giving an answer to a hello that goes as to the exact themes of this show. You just knocked it out of the park. What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, man. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. Fritz, your podcast, The Hot Mic at Arch DevOps, talks about people's stories, about how they got started in business, what their dream is all about, what they're passionate about, but also the challenges and struggles they face as they create something out of nothing. You yourself, with your business, created something out of nothing. How did you do that?
It was completely accidental.
You were walking down the street one day and suddenly you started a business?
Pretty much. I mean, I've been telling people lately, I have like this little mini, I want to say elevator pitch. When people are like, hey, what's it been like? And I said, I don't have a career. I have a careen. That's basically, all over the place, man. It is not planned. I really did kind of fall into it / get pushed into it. You know, I sat on the idea for a couple years about, I could start a business. I mean, I kept having people, recruitment firms come to me and say, oh, Fritz, you got to go over here and work at this company. Oh, you got to go over here and work at this company. like, wow, there's a lot of demand here. You know, I should, how hard could it be? Right. And then, I was at a client and they unfortunately had to let people go. It was a legacy part of the company. And they were like, well, we got to sunset stuff. And unfortunately, contractors were the first ones to go. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got my opportunity. I went home and I hit the button and I became a business. I filed for an LLC. I actually had all the information up on the Secretary of State website and I was kind of, oh my goodness, what am I doing this right? Like, and I just, boom, no hesitation, done. Cost me $60, $61.25 because I paid with a credit card, but I became a business. And I'm serious. Like I never, like all the stuff that I've learned, which I'm sure we're going to get into in a bit here. I never realized like how deep and how crazy the entrepreneurial life is, but God help me, I can't quit. So we'll just, you know, see what happens.
You say that it is a careen that your career has been. And interestingly enough, when you were prepping for this show, I asked you a bunch of questions, and one of them that you said really spoke to you was the concept of life as an adventure. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about why that particular question speaks to you and how that relates to the great careen that you have described your life as.
Man. Well, I guess it's... I can kind of see both sides of living life as if it's an adventure and living life as, hey, this is planned out, it's stable, things are predictable, right? I've done both. And what really speaks to me on the adventure side is there is not a day that goes by where I actually know what's going to happen. I could plan. Mm-hmm. I could come up and write Excel spreadsheets and time box. I'm going to spend 30 minutes here and an hour here and 15 minutes there. And kaboom, it just blows out of the water because something else comes and says, nope, we're not doing that today. We're going to do this. But what I've realized is every time that happens, I'm still here. Nothing's killed me yet. Amazingly enough, like you would think at the age of 40, something would have got me by now, but no. It's just a further demonstration of how resilient the human spirit is to just run headlong into something and be like, I don't know what is over here. Like I can't see through the fog, but I'm going to run in there anyway. And to somewhat feel like, hey, there's a lot of unpredictability, but we'll figure it out when we get there. When we get there, we will figure it out. And oh man, it's scary and exciting at the same time. You know what I mean?
I actually really do. And you're raising some points that really speak to me as well as probably speak to a lot of the audience members here. Safety. Mm-hmm. The many years that you and I worked for large organizations that allegedly provided stability. And allegedly provide stability for those that work in them came to an abrupt end. And you began to have to walk down a path where there was not only a lack of stability, but ultimately the ability to provide for yourself as well as anyone else in your life mm-hmm. was totally on you. And that's something I could not relate to. Unless and until I began to actually do it myself. And the concept that you're talking about of the universe providing something that enables you to meet whatever those needs are to be able to get through is something that I found very alienating or very difficult to imagine when I was working in a situation where I didn't have to do that. Talk to me a little bit about how you psychologically adjusted to that change. And maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your background so we could understand why this was such a shift for you.
Sure thing. Well, the shift that I had to make was a direct result of me being a control freak. I am a recovering control freak. I'm a recovering workaholic, right? And, you know, thinking back to when I worked in corporate where I wasn't tested, I wasn't like pushed to the end of myself. I wasn't figuring out what my own limitations and what my own boundaries were. And then to be thrust into something where, wow, now I have to depend on something outside myself. Okay. Cause I don't have the visibility that I need. I can't predict what is going to happen 2 weeks from now. I can't even predict what's going to happen 2 hours from now, but I have to still keep making forward progress. Right. I think we had talked before about how, you know, my background is I'm a man of faith. I'm a Christian, and, you know, being raised in a church, you know, they drill it into you. Trust God. God is everything you need. And then when you go through life and then you hit something where it's like, wow, I legit don't know how to proceed here, but I know I've got to take some steps forward. Then it ends up being something that's really like dug deep, and I'm finding things deeper in myself that I'm like, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that was in there. I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent there. Did I answer your question? I think I did. I hope I did. Okay.
Yeah. Not only did you, but you gave me some things that I want to explore a little bit further.
Okay, cool.
Let's talk first about the idea that you have been in a position in your life since becoming an entrepreneur that forces you to dig deeper within and find things that you didn't realize that you had and pull them out. What exactly do you mean by that? And maybe share a story or two with us about when and how that occurred, what it looked like for you.
Yeah. Well, I think some of what I've learned has a lot to do with resilience. And what I mean by that is the ability to just keep taking hits and keep failing and keep getting up and keep going. And I believe deep down that that was trained into me back in high school. For some odd reason, I decided to join the cross country team. I wasn't built to be a runner. I enjoyed running, but I could never run like a mile. You know, every year in school, they're like, all right, boys, we're going to get out. We're going to do the presidential mile and it's going to be 4 laps. Ready, set, go. I would always end up walking. There were some kids that like stopped and were like, laying on the track. And it's like, I know, man, bro, same. But something just triggered in me, and I'm like, I'm going to join the cross country team. And it wasn't like you had to try out for it or anything. It's like, just show up and have legs. You made it. And what I learned is there's something, and I don't know, like, have you ever done distance running before? Is that a thing?
Oh, I loved it. I grew up in Kansas, Michael.
Oh.
I would run for miles and miles in those wheat fields.
Yeah. Well, out there you can because there aren't any hills. Yeah. But around here in close to the Ozarks, it's woo-woo, it's up and down. And it's like, you know, huh, it takes a special kind of something to run in Missouri, right? but they – something just got – just a switch flipped where I realized, hey, I'm out on this run. And I'm not sure how far I've gone, but I'm not done yet. So I got to keep going until I'm done. And you end up running like 9 miles, 12 miles.
It's yeah. like
my body's
yeah.
not bred to do that. Now carrying that yeah. forward 20 plus years. Wow. It's been 20 plus years since I graduated. Man, I'm old. Anyway.
Hey, that forward, I only graduated 3 years ago. So what do I know?
The schooling's never done. When you stop learning, you die, right? But carrying that forward 20 plus years, it's like I feel the same parts of my brain lighting up when I don't know how much farther we've got to go, but I've got to keep going. And there's that part. It's like, yeah, yeah, keep going, right? So digging down and finding things that have been in there the whole time and just digging them out and saying, hey, I guess I'm finding a use for this, but also digging down and finding that there's a lot of things that I don't need. there's a lot of baggage. I come from a long line of worriers. You know, growing up, that was always something. Like, there was always worry. There was always fear. And, you know, I am my parents' son, right? They worried a lot. I worry a lot. But the more I think about it, the more I kind of go back to what I was saying before about how every challenge I've run into, there's been a way through it. So when I find myself starting to worry, it's like, okay, like, this is about the 10,000,004th time that we've gone through this cycle, right? Is this really something that you need to spend energy worrying about? And it's taking less and less time for me to get to the point where I realize, no, I don't need to worry about that. So not only am I digging out useful things, but I'm also digging out useless things. And then I'm able to drop them for a time until I pick it up again and oh, I'm worried, you know, but that's, it's getting better. I'm getting better, but it all goes toward cultivating that resilience, cultivating that mental toughness where you're like, I'm focused on a particular result and I am going to succeed to the best of my ability. So that's what you, yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you were a person of faith.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about how that, if at all, has supported you on your entrepreneurial journey and helped or hindered your ability to be resilient.
Well, it's really helped me be resilient because I find that my strength comes from something outside myself. You know, there's plenty of resilience, but it's there because life has almost been orchestrated in a way where the challenges are not too difficult that I got to tap out, but they're not so easy that it's like, this is a piece of cake, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's almost like playing a video game, you know? It's just, you level up. You're never hitting something so hard. You don't run into like a level 10 billion monster when you're like a level 4, you know? It's like, I'm in danger, you know? There's always that little bit of like, you're going to get dinged up, but you'll be fine. But it's really, it's helped me realize that the way my life has gone is by design. And I know God's got a big hand in that. And I, you know, just kind of look back and say, okay, historically, what's happened? What big challenges have I run into? I'm a cancer survivor. I, you know, dealt with loss of family. I lost my dad at a young age. He was 65 when he passed away. So, there's just a lot of things that have come up where it's like, looking back, that's what I needed at the time. And there were areas of my life that were strengthened that I would be a complete wuss in had those things not happened in that particular order. So I would say there's nothing about my faith that's like hindered me. You know, I mean, I guess if I weren't, I could like run out there and be like super unethical and not have any like, oh, yay, my conscience isn't like, you know, but I mean, hey, I've got ethics, right? So, but it's not really hindered me in any way. Not that I can think of. It's a good question, though.
Well, I ask that because part of what motivates many ongoing entrepreneurial drives is a connection to a sense of purpose that many entrepreneurs find in their professional mission that some of those working in corporate America, although not all, can feel very alienated from. And to the extent that there is that sense of purpose that entrepreneurs can have in their mission, that also helps them develop resilience. Mm-hmm. You talked about a feeling that your life was orchestrated. And it's interesting that you mentioned the whole video game analogy because there are some totally dorm room 1 a.m. conversations after some smoking and some drinking that reminds me of that remark where there are serious thinkers out there that say things like, well, for all we know, this is all just a video game that we're in. And it's all exactly what you're described as, orchestrated. Yeah. We're plugged in. We're not aware of who built the video game. We're not aware of what roles we're playing or not. But it is very much a game that we level up to. And then eventually either we go out of it or it switches us off. And so what you're talking about and that I see is embedded in what you're relating to are themes of at least potentially connection to purpose, of spirituality, of resilience. Am I just seeing that connection, or is that something that you connect to your own faith? And if you connect it to your faith, do you feel that your faith has changed during your entrepreneurial journey?
Oh, that is the question of the hour, sir. Do I feel like my faith has changed because of my entrepreneurial journey? The answer to that is yes. I mean, the purpose that I feel overall is beyond just being an entrepreneur. It's beyond being a dad. It's beyond being a husband. It is be the best me that I can be. Like, I am Michael Virtues. I am defined as, you know, a man. You know, there's certain things and abilities that I have where it's like, okay, do it the best you can. Go hard or go home. And running a business is an extension of that. Being a dad is an extension of that, or a husband. All that stuff is an extension of be the best me that I can be. And how that ties back to my faith then is like, all right, well, if I'm looking at my life as a Christian, what does that mean? How do I be the best Christian I can be? How can I make the biggest impact in the hearts and lives of the people around me? And, you know, having crazy things happen as part of building a business where it just takes you past what you thought you were capable of. When you come back and then you deal with people that have like never even dipped their toes in that world, it's like, you know, everybody's got an oh shit bar, right? So ours is like way up here and a lot of other people's are like way down here, and they're worried about stuff that is so, I don't want to say easy, because everybody's big thing, like to them, that's their big thing. But now guys like you and I, we have been elevated and made stronger, where we can come alongside and lift other people up and help them get through those challenges that are like, this is really, really hard for me to do. And it's like, hey, let's do this together. We'll work together. If I hadn't built a business, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be worried about, you know, quote unquote, easy stuff, right? It's kind of a beautiful complex. It looks chaotic on the outside, but on the inside, everything is... it's just related. It's like, you know, this is video, right? We got our fingers like interlocked, right? It's all tied together, and I love it.
Yeah.
But it's scary and it's painful, man. You know what I mean?
It is. It really is. Talk to those in the audience who might have been thinking about stepping into a more entrepreneurial or even artistic phase in their career, because I feel like being an artist is a lot like being an entrepreneur. There's the same level of risk. There's the same putting yourself out there. There's the same possibility that you may not get cash, or you may have to go through a whole lot of ups and downs, and you have to constantly push yourself to create more and more. So anyone who is in one of those sorts of professions or who has made that their path, talk to us about, or who may be contemplating that, talk to us a little bit about how they can gather the courage and the strength to be able to do what you have done, to be able to have confidence that their own resilience will be there as they begin to walk that journey.
Okay. Well, specifically for those people, like there are people out there, like you intimated toward, like they're not thinking about it. Okay. This message is not for them. If you have heard that clarion call of, I think I want to be an entrepreneur, I think I want to be an artist, listen, you have to heed that call. All right. And I'm not saying this as a misery loves company. Like, oh man, this really sucks. Like, I cannot be the only person that goes through this. Come suffer with me. Right. No, it's deep down. You know that you know that this is what you've got to do. Now that said, I don't know how to tell somebody to gather courage for it, because when I started, it was a slam dunk. It's like, hey, I'm just going to file for an LLC and then I'm going to go find a client. Like, how hard could it be? It got hard real quick, about a year and a half in. And I didn't know that that was going to happen. I didn't know a lot of things were going to happen. But had I known specifically what was coming down the pipe, bro, I probably never would have started, because I didn't have the courage.
What were some of those things, by the way, if I could ask?
Yeah, well, beginning of 2018, I had a four-month span where I was absolutely out of work. Like, I had gone, you know, worked like one client at a time, you know, full-time, 40-plus hours a week. And then when the work dried up, then I was working really hard to find stuff to fill my pipeline. But, you know, tale as old as time, right? You know, you're either you're either hunting or you're farming, but you can't really do both unless you're like diversifying your time. So that's the situation I was in. Now, looking back, it's like, yeah, it took 4 months to get through that. But at the time, it's like, oh my goodness, how long is this going to last? Like what? What? You know, are we going to run out of money, kind of thing? I never knew going in. I never knew going in what that was like. I've had clients where, well, I had one client in particular where it did not end well. And, you know, looking back, it's like, I know what the problem was. I know exactly what the problem was. But at the time, I got tunnel vision and I thought, you know, I got in defense mode, and that wasn't the level of conversation that was needed. I needed to come in and be the consultant instead of like kowtowing to something that was a power play. And that ended. They terminated the contract, and I just felt useless. I felt like a complete failure. You know, my mind was my own worst enemy. It still is. I've just I've got a little bit better control of it these days. But yeah, I mean, there's not, it's like going back to what you said before, what we were talking about. When it comes to courage, you'll always have the right amount of that. However much you need is what you'll have available. So it's okay to just run in there and take a leap, because you're actually, your body is built to handle a lot more risk than what you think you're capable of taking on. And things are never as dicey as what it looks like. That's just your brain trying to protect you, because change is scary, but actually it makes your brain use more calories. It's an energy conservation thing. It's a holdover from, you know, when we were living off the land and living off of, like, you know, fat and bison and stuff like that. Yeah. So when you get ready to make a change, your brain goes, ooh, scary thing. Let's do things to the body to make this person maybe not want to do this. And let's just chill. Let's be sedentary. And you got to push against that and say, no, we're going to go for glory, bud. And, we're going to do this. We're going to do it together, brain. So yeah, that poop your pants feeling is just your body telling you that you're getting ready to do something cool.
That actually is a completely new framework to me, at least, for analyzing that fear. Understanding that it has a biological component does give me a sense of control over my ability to respond, similarly to an understanding of other biological responses that manifest themselves through emotions. And when I understand that, then I can check it and either think around it or shift my mindset to be able to work through whatever that is and accomplish whatever the next state that I need to get into requires. So that's actually kind of amazing.
Oh, cool. I taught you something. That's really...
You have taught our entire audience something, and I think that's what this is all about.
Yay.
You mentioned ethics earlier. In business, many people say, look, there's no ethical requirements to be an entrepreneur. There are legal requirements, but there are not ethical requirements. Unlike, for instance, law. Or medicine, where you have to be licensed, and you can have your licenses or license revoked if you fail to meet the ethical standards of that profession outside of breaking the law and getting caught. As an entrepreneur, there are really no ethical tablets that one better follow in order to maintain your status as a small business owner. What is the root of that sense of ethics that you mentioned earlier? And you said it almost as if it is something that you are that should go without saying, but I don't know that I necessarily agree, and I don't know that many of our audiences would agree that being ethical in business is something that should automatically go without saying, because a lot of people aren't.
Yeah. No, I hear that. And, you know, going back to what I've met some unethical people. Like, we know what ethics are. We know what it means to be ethical. We know what it means to be unethical. Really, in the world of entrepreneurship, that's the word. In the world of entrepreneurship, I think the golden rule plays a big part, right? Like, just don't do to other people what you wouldn't want to have done to you. Serve them to the best of your ability. If something's unclear, like if people are feeling like, oh, this guy's going to take me to the cleaners, it's like, hey, maybe this is a communication problem. Maybe I'm not being clear in what I'm trying to provide service-wise, so let's have a conversation. There's definitely an unethical stripe to it, you know, do things under the table, try to hide things, keep it off the radar, whatever, you know, pad some numbers, whatever, not work as much as you say you did, that kind of thing. That kind of crap catches up to people, right? And especially if you're a business owner or an aspiring one, you know, your reputation is everything, and it is tied to you as a person. You know, if you're just starting out, you are the business, right? Arch DevOps is Michael Fritjuice. And if I screw somebody over, that makes that company name look bad. And then it makes me look bad, right? So, I personally try really, really hard to make sure that people are taken care of and that they feel like they're being served and they feel comfortable and they're okay with change and they're less scared about, you know, here's how we're doing work differently now as a result. But yeah, that's really what I think, to me, that's what ethics really means, is how are you interfacing with other people? What is the desired result of your actions? And if it's more other focused, then it's probably more ethical. If it's more self focused, you might be in a gray area, right? So just see what your focus is.
What advice would you have for viewers or listeners who are in the entrepreneurial or the creative space and don't have the formal faith association that you do? They may not belong to any faith institution at all, but are still looking for a place from which to pull their own resilience or their own sense of ethics.
Sense of resilience and sense of ethics. I think resilience will happen for you, whether you want it to or not. I was going to say it will happen to you, but it happens for you. You know, life itself has a way of strengthening you, you know, just the environment. I read a lot of science fiction, and it's always funny when other alien species look at Earth and they're like, oh, Earth is a death world. Like, there's all kinds of things that'll kill you. Like, you can't go there. And it's like, well, we're fine. And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, and then a human shows up and they just like freak out, like run away. Don't make eye contact, or, you know, don't fight them. Whatever you do, please just leave them alone. They're crazy. They touch you. They're covered in goop. But I mean, the world and life will strengthen you. You'll get resilience. The ethics thing too, you know, outside of religion, outside of faith, like, it just goes back to treat others how you'd want to be treated. You know, try to put yourself in the shoes of someone who is afraid to make change. And how would you want to be approached? And how would you feel better about the situation? Like, what is it that someone could do to assuage your fears, help you feel comfortable about a certain kind of change, like what you're trying to provide? And then do that, you know, and you may have to ask them, you know, you may have to just level with them, have a heart to heart and be like, listen, I want to make sure I'm taking care of you. Okay. Consider me an ally, not, you know, just some owner trying to bilk me out of money. I'm here to help you. Right. If I don't help you, it looks bad on me. Right. Mm-hmm. So what is it that I can do for you? How can I serve you? And that plays into your ethics, and you'll find it feels crunchy, but good. It's definitely the harder path, but it's the more rewarding path. It can be slower, but that growth that you get in both of those areas, when you look back, it's kind of like running a long race that's just up a straight hill. When you look back and see how far you've come, and you're like, dang, I did that. I came that far, and I'm not done. I still got some more hill left, but I made some progress. It's a really deep sense of accomplishment.
Fritz.
Yes, sir.
If you could be any sci-fi hero, who would you be?
The guy on Firefly, the character, Nathan Fillion. I think he's just got that.
Tell us a little bit about him. I'm a fan, but not everyone might be.
Yeah, he is just so easygoing. Like, you know the saying, rough seas make a smooth sailor? Like, oh, yeah. That's him, right? And I'm like, if I could be any sci-fi hero, like, that would be the guy. And I've seen scenes on that show where everybody's like, oh my goodness, I'm freaking out. But they're still not freaking out as hard because he's him, right? Like, I want to be that guy. And I strive to be that guy when I'm working with clients as well. It's like, I get it. I got a mosquito flying in my ear. Sorry. That's what I get for doing these in a truck with window crack. I've been in corporations where people are just absolutely squashed down. They can't think. They're like 100% lizard brain, and they don't want to take risk. And it's funny because those are the same companies that are like, innovation is one of our core tenets. And I'm like, dude, no, it's not. If people can't take risk, then no, they're not innovating. They're just, right?
Yeah.
But to come alongside and be that person that says, hey, I know where you're coming from and I've been through this. Like, let's work together. We're gonna try some crazy, but we're gonna learn some things while we're at it. And I want to be with you there every step of the way. Like, that's who I am. I don't want to, you know, be like, I got to work to that. Like, I am like that. People love working with me, which is weird hearing people say that. Like, man, Fritz, you're really fun to work with. I'm glad one of us thinks so. Cause I think I'm intolerable around. I can't stand myself half the time. Right. But yeah, it's just, that's the guy. I feel bad. Like, what is his actual, like, I know his real name, but what, like, I forget his name in the show.
I don't remember any of the characters' names. Yeah. I remember some of the plots. I remember the vest that he wore all the time. I've watched too much sci-fi. I'm immersed in everything, and I get all of them mixed up after a while. I enjoy them in the moment, and the next thing I know, I've forgotten. So, but I know exactly who you're talking about, and anyone who has not watched Firefly absolutely should, because it's an amazing show.
Yeah.
Fritz, how can folks find out more about you?
Oh, they can find my website, which right now is going through a little bit of an overhaul. Well, it's a lot of bit of an overhaul. There's been a lot of changes here. But I'm going back to, it's a one-man show. I'm focused solely on automation of all kinds, a lot of time-consuming stuff that just gets eliminated. You know, reclaim your life, reclaim your time, control your schedule, that kind of thing. Find me at archdevops.com. All one word, no funny stuff. And there's some pretty cool resources there. I just wrote a book. I forgot to tell you this since last time we talked, dude. I just wrote a book, and it's about if you want to have awesome software, you need to start with awesome culture. And it's a real short, it's going to look big because it's like 72 pages, but it's a quick read. Like you can knock it out in two lunch breaks, but it's under there. At the top there, it says books. And then you go to the page and it's like, well, that's the only one. You can't miss it. So I should just say book.
But congratulations, man. That's
thank
awesome.
You, man. Feels good. And I can like all the stuff out of my head. I can cram it full of other things that I didn't have room for.
Yeah, exactly.
ArchDevOps.com. And you can contact me, Fritz, at ArchDevOps.com. If you want to reach out directly, I have an email address. You're welcome to use it. And I'd love to hear from some of your listeners. I love talking with people. Well, you know that because we get along great because we're both
talkers.
We're both talkers, man. We're both jabbers. That's what I was going to say. We're both jack jars. You know, we're just chatting. But yeah, I love meeting new people. So if I could like siphon off some of your guests into my own network, then I would be just pleased. So if you've got 7 or 8 of them.
Well, all you got to do is reach out and those guests can almost always be connected with other podcast hosts.
So nice. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fritz, it has been great taking a ride with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. And for everybody tuning in, if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on Apple or a comment on YouTube. And see you next time for another trip down the Purpose Highway. When you're racing down the Purpose Highway, we want to make sure you're healthy and happy every step of the way. That's why we're proud to partner with It's Nola, 21st century plant-based healthy granola snack bites made with real ingredients and audacious flavor. It's Nola crafts small batch hand-rolled granola balls that are vegan, gluten-free, and naturally low in sugar. It's Nola's delightful bites come in 3 flavors: luscious cranberry coconut, sassy mango masala, and dark, decadent, chewy chocolate. It's Nola is available to both individual customers and for wholesale accounts at itsnola.com. That's itsnola.com. Guests on this show are already enjoying this delicious snack. Check out It's Nola's website for yourself and find out how good it is.